good afternoon, and I'm going to go directly to the phone line because we have a new guest on. Dr. Feynman, are you there?
Yes, I am, Glenn. Very pleased to be with you.
Nice to have you. And I'm, you know, I told you I'm not quite sure how to do the board so that I can say hi to you and then put you back on. I don't know. We got it done. Let's just say we got it done. Well, I tell you what, I'm thrilled to have you on, we're on. You had been on with Adam before, and now you're going to be on with me. I hope we can convince you to stay on with me. I'm going to give you this first week as a trial. If you hate it, you can let me know.
Also, I've been on with Scott Spears a lot.
Yes.
The champion of all interviews.
he had some great interviews on this week. He had Eleanor Clift. He had who else did he? Oh, he just had names that you wouldn't believe.
Eleanor Clift, yes, I know she's been on a lot with him.
Yeah.
Also with Adam, I think, at times, too, yeah. Yes.
She's I've talked to her. I have not had her on the air. I'm not brave like that. And I'll tell you what, I am not worthy to have you on. I have called my show A Progressive Life, but that's just because I am progressive in my thoughts and deeds and stuff like that, but I don't know progressivism like you do, and so I'm just proud to have you on.
I wouldn't necessarily, you know, downgrade your knowledge. However, I am the Progressive Professor.
Yes, you sure
are. For 12 years, yes.
And also, you have a book called Twilight of Progressivism: The Western Republic Senators and
the New Deal.
The New Deal. Yeah.
Yeah. The Midwest and Western progressives in the years of the FDR New Deal, yes.
Now, my grandmother and grandfather, my family was Republican. I was the first person to switch over, and that was because of Nixon, thank goodness, because of Nixon, I guess. But my grandmother and grandfather hated Roosevelt. Absolutely hated him. But my grandfather was a fairly well-to-do doctor in Marion County, Indiana, which is Indianapolis. And he had lots of money, so maybe that was the reason why.
It often, not always, but often it is an issue, yes.
Yeah.
And yet there were a lot of Republicans, after the ones I did in my first book, were Republicans. Robert La Follette Jr., George Norris, William Borah, Hiram Johnson, Gerald Nye, who in the last case I actually got to interview him at his own age,
yeah.
And many others. So, you know, these were Republicans, but they were progressives, and many of them did support the New Deal, at least up to the time of World War II, when all of them were isolationists except George Norris, who continued to back FDR, but the others were isolationists, so they turned against FDR on foreign policy.
Gotcha. Now, you also wrote another book, and that one has got kind of tweaked my interest because it talks about the assassination, and I don't have the title right. Oh, Assassination
Threats in the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama, and it not only includes all presidents, but also presidential candidates, Huey Long, George Wallace, and Robert Kennedy as well.
Now, someday I'm going to... I have dyslexia, so I don't read very well. If I pick up a book, I am asleep in about 15 minutes.
If you want, I could call you up every 15 minutes.
Well, I'm planning on reading that book, even if it takes me 4 months. But I will be well rested.
That would be better than Donald Trump, who never reads more than a page at a time.
Well, you know, I wonder if he doesn't have the same malady. And that's bad.
He'd never admit it, though.
No, you're right. I read your article. There has never been a president like Donald Trump. And
on History News Network's my other blog, under my name, Ronald L. Feynman. Yes. So what do you think of that article?
I have never read an article like this. Now, let me tell our listeners, there are, I'm guessing, 25 or 30 paragraphs, but no paragraph is longer than one sentence long.
And because they're trying to make a point by having separate paragraphs for each idea, yes.
Yeah, and each paragraph starts, "No president has." And I printed it off because there are a lot of things in there that I'd like some of my friends to read. But now, I had a caller 2 weeks ago, and it was on. I was on with Scott at the time, and the caller said to me, he basically said, "Do you know how many lies Biden has told?" And I'm trying
to
think.
That's a joke.
That's what I was thinking. Now, I have researched it, and he has told a few adjusted truths. Let's put it that way.
And every politician has said some things that are lies, but nothing like Donald Trump. The Washington Post has said there's 20,000 lies plus.
Is it up to 20,000?
Not even talk about before, just in office, yes.
Well, I had another guy call me, and we have listeners that don't like me because I'm progressive, but I had another caller call in, and we started talking about lies. And I said, and at that time, I think it was 17,570, whatever the number was by I think it's the Post, isn't it? Again, no, it's
well, 20,000 as of recently, so okay. It's more than that. He also repeats himself a lot, but each time he says something, even if he repeats it, it's counted as a lie.
Yeah.
He's repeating the lies. And in one sentence recently, in one sentence, he had four lies in one sentence, which is an all-time record.
I think I saw that on the news. Now, I said to this gentleman, I said, "Now, what do you think about all those lies?" And the phone got quiet, dead quiet. And I said, "I suppose you'll call that fake news." And he jumped back on, "Yeah, it is." And that was the end of the conversation. So anyway, I don't understand how people can reverse the tables and say that Biden's a big liar.
He's made mistakes, and he has not been accurate in everything he's ever said. Nobody has, but nobody, not even Richard Nixon, matches up to the level of lies of Donald Trump. Not even Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon had major accomplishments, which we have to give him credit for.
Yep.
And I do in my American presidency class that I teach at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton. So even Nixon actually looks much. And the worst president in ranking is Buchanan and Andrew Johnson right above him. And now the American Political Science Association, the political scientists, after just 1 year, not up to now, and in 2018, they rated Trump the bottom of all presidents below Buchanan and Andrew Johnson.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I don't think the last 2.5 years since they did that is going to change that.
Now, I've been asked to consider being we have a thing for our historical society where we have we raise funds by having several different presidents come to a dinner, and everybody sits with the president. You know, they're actors, obviously, and they've asked me to be Buchanan. So you
but
think
Jimmy
maybe
Carter could possibly do all those roles because he's going to be 96 on October 1st.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Now, boy, my mind is going crazy. It's all over the place. You were talking about age, and I've got I think probably the most current thing that I would like to ask you about. I'm going to ask you about assassinations because you wrote the book, but I would like to know what you think's going to happen. You have to know I'm going to ask you about Justice Ginsburg. What do you think is going to happen, and what do you think should happen about reappointing a new person?
Okay, well, what should happen is nothing is done until the inauguration because it's too short a time frame. But, of course, they're going to do it. Mitch McConnell is moving ahead. They don't care. They want to stack the court. When they denied Barack Obama his right to have an appointment of Merrick Garland, who was no great liberal. He was a moderate centrist. So I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a replacement, but it should not be. And it looks like it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett, who's very young, about 48, very right-wing.
She's a smart lady.
I'm not saying she has no credentials, but she is, in many ways, the antithesis of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I think that's a tragedy for the country, but I think she will be confirmed, and she will probably be on the court for 30 years, unfortunately. I'm not wishing her harm, I mean, but I'm just saying, I think she'll be on the court probably for 30 years or more.
Yep.
That, I think, is what's going to happen, but it should not happen. It's so sad. It really is, but I think that's reality.
Well, now, let me take that a step further. Was she not... when she was selected for whatever court she's on now, was she not voted positively by like 20 Democrats?
Yes, she was. But it's a little different when you're talking about the lower courts and when you're talking about the Supreme Court.
Oh, okay.
And the thing with her is that it's, I happen to believe, is separation of church and state. But she has made clear, and she has a right to her own views, her very religious beliefs in Catholicism, which is fine, but I don't think that should be coming into play in making judgments on the courts. Now, I know other justices have done that, but I do not think it should be. There should be a separation of church and state, and yet it is clear that she is being put on the court because of the belief that they can outlaw abortion with her vote. And this case is coming November 10th.
And that's almost a sure thing, isn't it?
You know, and I think that's wrong because I've always said, do I like abortion? No, absolutely do not. Do I believe it should be outlawed? No, because it's a woman's body.
Yep.
And I still say that, you know, it is not up to government to intervene with people's private love lives and their sex lives. Mm-hmm. And abortion has to do with being pregnant. And to me, that and the same party that is so worried about being pro-life is not concerned about 200,000 people dying, and has no concern about the loss of life, you know, where we have young black males being killed much too often by police officers and getting away with it. And so it's just like a double standard. But I think that's why religion should not be in government. But, of course, many right-wingers want it in government. They want to intervene with your private life, but don't, you know, but have no economic regulation, which to me is hypocritical.
Well, I think you knew that I ran for a state representative, and the lady that defeated me, soundly, she is a Catholic woman and believes absolutely against abortion. And matter of fact, she voted for the 6-week law that we had here. It didn't go through, but she voted for that. And when people would ask me, oh, well, she's pro-life, and you're
anti-choice.
Pro-choice. Yeah. And I said, yes, but I am anti-abortion. I would never tell somebody to go get abortion. Who wants to go have abortion? Oh, yeah, let's go have a couple of abortions today.
Like it's a party, yes.
Yeah, nobody
I
wants
say that.
That
you could be pro, you know, pro-life in the sense you prefer not to have abortions, but it should not be legislated by government telling you have to go through a pregnancy. That's the issue. But I'm not for abortion. I'm for the right to choose.
Well, I am pro-life when it comes to the death penalty.
Well, interestingly, I think Amy Coney Barrett has said she's against the death penalty, I believe. I believe she did say that, which also makes it hypocrisy because it doesn't make sense to me. You know, it seems to me, if anything, one could argue that killing someone who had, you know, who has actually murdered someone, there's more justification, I think. There's any kind of consistency, but I believe she's against the death penalty, yes.
Okay. Well, that's a plus in my book, but I don't know where you stand on that, but I guess...
let's say it this way, I'm against the death penalty being used as much... Well, actually, it's not even used a lot. It usually drags on for years. I'm against it unless there's total proof, without any doubt, after DNA testing, and the person has been involved in, I would call it, mass murder, you know, more than one person. I wouldn't necessarily... It would depend on the circumstances. I'm not against death penalty completely, but I'm not for it being used as a solution to the prisons, which I think also are corrupt the way they operate. They're privately run, many of them, and it's wrong. It becomes a business. It should not be that.
Much like DeVos wants us to make our schools into.
And DeVos is a disaster as Secretary of Education, and she herself has been involved in things that are very, very much, I call it, corrupt. And a lot of the Trump cabinet has been corrupt. The most corrupt cabinet members as a group have ever seen, more than Nixon.
Yeah, but how can you tell? Because they change every week.
Well, even if they leave behind their residue of corruption. You
and
know,
somebody and, worse, usually. Yeah.
Yes. Well, he's had more turnover than any president ever has had in one term. And as I taught in my class yesterday, we were talking about a failed president, Franklin Pierce, in the 1850s. Mm-hmm. And I said, what was positive about him? He had one set of cabinet offices never replaced. They all finished the whole term with him, which is the only person who's ever had a complete cabinet
during
the whole term.
Wow, that's kind of amazing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
trivia.
In today's world, I can't imagine having a complete cabinet longer than a year. That would be a shock, right?
Yes.
Oh, my. Oh, well, now let me ask you, I'm going to be all over the place today. Because
it's fun. I'm enjoying this greatly. You're great as an interviewer, by the way.
Thank you. Let me ask you about the assassination. You wrote the book about it. Now, were you worried that Obama was going to be assassinated? I will say that I was.
About every president, Trump's also been threatened, and I don't wish any harm on any president.
Yeah.
Presidential candidate. I want to point out, I'm concerned for both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I am too. Yeah.
Because Robert Kennedy, although he was not the nominee, was killed when he was pursuing the office.
Right.
George Wallace was paralyzed for life. Whether you like George Wallace or not, that was terrible. And Huey Long, back in 1935, was assassinated. So, yes, I was, because there were more, and I pointed out in my book, more total death threats against Obama of any president since Abraham Lincoln.
Now, I'm sure that some of my friends on the right side of the aisle will say it had nothing to do with the fact that he was black. But that had to be a lie.
Well, it's certainly not all people that threatened him, but many of them were because of the propaganda that he was a Muslim, Obama, and also that we don't want a non-white person. Not every single case, I suppose, but if you go through my book, that chapter, and I only cover about 20 such cases, but there's many, many more, a lot of these people, it is a racial or religious issue about his being supposedly a Muslim, which he is not.
Yeah. Yeah, it never has been, and if anybody
listens...
His father
was, okay. I agree, his father was.
Yes, but neither... if you listen to his speeches, you cannot think that he's anything other than Christian. Because he refers to deities and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Now, I think you know that... I think I mentioned to you that I'm agnostic. I would call myself an atheist, but I'm leaving that door open.
Well, I'm Jewish, but I'm not a devout Jew. I'm not Orthodox.
Uh-huh.
I'm more like a Reformed type of Jew, and I don't believe you have to go to temple every week in order to show that you're a quote a good Jew. In fact, the whole term "good Jew" or "good Christian" or "good Muslim" annoys me, because most of the people who would go around saying "I'm good so and so" are not good. They're phony.
And if they say they're good, that usually means they're kind of rigid that way.
It also means they're rigid, yes.
Yeah, and rigid. My dad was a minister, a Methodist minister.
Oh!
And religion, he was a very liberal Republican Methodist minister. He marched in the Selma March. And,
well, I'm proud of him for that, yes.
I'm very proud of my father. But,
yes. Is he aware that you became an agnostic?
He told me, I will, no. He died when I was... Well, my son was 1 year old, and my son now is 46. So, he did not know.
I don't know if you would want to tell him that.
Well, he did tell me when I got out of high school, I had a real problem with a young lady who claimed I had made her pregnant. But between you and me, I hadn't touched the lady, and I told my dad, she's too ugly.
So what happened with that pregnancy?
Well, she wasn't pregnant. She was just trying to get me to notice her, I guess.
Oh, my God.
But,
crazy.
Dad and I were talking, and I said, Dad, I'm struggling to believe all the stuff that you talk about. And
he said, you're gutsy.
Well, I was 18. Stupid, maybe.
And what did he say?
He said to me, when you grow up and get out of the house and start to make your own decisions, you will either become a very devout Christian or a very devout atheist. And I have become a pretty devout atheist, I guess.
So he's an agnostic.
Agnostic. That kind of gives you an out. I'm the type of person that I like having the joy and the beliefs of... I am really a Christian that doesn't believe that there's a God.
So the thing that bothers me about a lot of people who say they're good Christians is they don't follow the teachings of Jesus.
No, they don't.
That's the thing. If you believe in Jesus and what he preached, okay, I can understand that. But these people are hypocrites, and they promote hate and division, many of these evangelicals, unless they're the liberal evangelicals, and it really annoys me.
Well, I really believe that most You being Jewish, you would read our Old Testament more than probably the New Testament.
Yes.
But I believe that the New Testament, where it talks about Jesus's feelings, and it also points all the different parables, like Good Samaritan. How can you be a new evangelistista and believe in what we're doing now to the kids down on the border if you believe that the that parable is correct?
That really annoys me no end.
Yeah.
People can justify because some immigrants may be coming in, quote, illegally or not going through the border, locations, but many are. But whatever, you do not cage kids. There is no way morally or ethically to justify that. And that really incenses me and causes me to be very angry at anybody who would be willing to do that to children, because it does permanent damage psychologically, emotionally, mentally to kids. And no kid, no matter what his parents or her parents have done, should suffer from that. It's just not right. And to separate them from their parents is un-Christian and un-Jewish, is what I would say.
It is. Now, I got to tell you this story, Dr. Feinman. When I was young, before I got married, my father and our family used to visit. We'd rent the same cottage up on Crooked Lake in northern Michigan every year for a month.
Crooked Lake?
Huh?
Interesting name. Crooked Lake.
Yeah, Crooked Lake. And
Donald Trump on a vacation there.
Yeah, it was named after him. Everybody on the waterfront was Jewish, right? And one day I said to my dad, I said, would you rather me marry a Jewish person? Because I had fallen in love with a next-door neighbor. Would you rather me marry a Jewish person or a Catholic person? Now, you got to remember, in these days, if you were Catholic, you had to have your children all had to be Catholic. Your wife and spouse had to be Catholic. It was required. And he looked at me and said, I'd much rather you marry a Jew than a Catholic.
Oh, my God. And did you?
And no, my wife happens to be a Methodist. So.
Oh, okay.
And she's also agnostic, but she hasn't admitted it yet.
What is your son, if I may ask?
I have two sons and a daughter, and they all know where I stand. My major religious teaching to them is be a good person. That's
okay,
all
and
I tell them.
And they're not that devout to whatever they believe in, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
They're not agnostics, it sounds like, huh?
I would say, well, my eldest son married a Mennonite, which is pretty devout, that direction. But she's a modern Mennonite, not one that wears the long skirts and the bonnet and stuff like that. And they go to the Columbus Mennonite Church, which is very... Matter of fact, the Columbus Mennonite Church right now is housing, for the last 3 or 4 years, an undocumented lady and her children.
I salute that church for doing that. That's wonderful.
And they've got her hidden in the church.
That's fantastic.
Terrible thing is that she can't go out or they will pick her up. So
that's a disgrace. And I hope that will change when Joe Biden gets in office.
I do too.
These things that have to change, yes.
And there are a lot of things. That's another question. A lot of people say that lots of stuff's going to change the day after Joe Biden gets into
office. The next day.
It's not going to happen the next day.
It takes time, but it will happen, I think,
slowly, And I'm afraid for people who are expecting the day after he gets elected in the office that everything will change and it'll be a great world, because it's not going to be a great world.
Well, it's going to be a tough world because we have a pandemic, which our president has not been willing to deal with, and it's going to be probably 400,000, not now it's 200,000 by inauguration day, and even with action, it's going to probably take most of next year. And it's probably going to go up, unfortunately, to 600,000, 700,000.
Gosh, that would be horrible.
And the point is, if we pass 620,000, which I think we will sometime next year, no matter what happens, we will pass the Civil War, both sides of the Civil War combined, of soldiers dying. But they died in 4 years, Union and Confederate. And this will be a year and maybe a half that will have, will surpass that 620,000.
And they were fighting for something. Both sides were fighting for something. These people that are dying of this pandemic are just dying because somebody's got no guts.
And the president doesn't have any concern about loss of human life. He just doesn't. Yeah. So he's not a pro-life president. He doesn't attend church. He's phony. He's not real. And why the evangelicals love him is only because they want a right-wing court to take away women's right to choose, take away health care, take away gay marriage, take away labor rights, all evil things that have, after a century of so much progress since the New Deal and the Great Society, and it's just horrific, the thought that this is going to happen. And that's why, even though I ordinarily I wouldn't be in favor of it, I do think we have to add members to the court, because otherwise the court's going to be way behind the country as it becomes, you know, indeed a non-white minority in the next 20, 25 years, and we have to adjust to it.
Now, let me ask you a question that I've heard people bantering a lot about, is what would happen, or can it happen, that if the Democrats win both houses, the House and the Senate, and the presidency, can they add two more justices to the court?
Yes, they can. They can add more than two more if they wanted to. Actually, at this point, with the 6-3 vote likely, they might add four, so they have a majority, making it 7-6. That's what's being talked about. Because, unfortunately, the court we have now includes two people who have had issues with the way they treated women. You got to remember that Clarence Thomas has been on the courts for an extremely long time, and also Brett Kavanaugh, and that automatically makes the whole court a suspect group, I'm sorry to say.
Well, both of them
should
have...
not be on the court, but they are. So I would be in favor of changing the nature of the court, yes.
Okay, now that brings up, both of those have questionable sexual relationships in their past life, as well as the president.
Oh, my God. He has more conflict in the sexual area than Bill Clinton, and that's not easy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Rachel Crooks ran for office the year I was running for office. She ran for state representative just north of us, and she was one of the ladies that he accosted. She was the lady that she was standing by the elevator, and he got off the elevator and said something about how beautiful she was, and he planted his mouth right on her mouth, and she was one of the minor people that complained about him. But she told me one night when we were getting ready to run for office, just a brief tale about what she went through. She's kind of a quiet lady. You don't get a whole lot out of her. Anyway.
Yeah.
I had something on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember what it was. If people, now, you have two blogs. Is that not correct?
Yes, one is on historynewsnetwork.org under my name, Ronald L. Fineman, and the other one, that's been around for since January 2016, and I've got like 153 articles on there, and they're longer articles. And then I have the progressiveprofessor.com since August 2008, and I have literally over 6,800 entries.
Wow.
I write every day on that. I write on History News Network sometimes, but I have two blogs. Yeah, one for 12 years, the other for 4.5 years now.
You write daily on it?
Daily. In the past, I skipped a few times, but now I basically, unless there's a good reason, I write on it every day.
Oh.
So at least 365 articles a year, but in the past, I often wrote more, multiples in a day, or some days missed. So it's over 6,800 entries since August 2008.
Well, now I got to ask you this question, because I was lambasted by by Scott when I came in today. He says, "What are you going to ask him? What are you going to ask him?" I said,
"I
have
a great job."
Well, thank you. I told him I have no idea what he's. You got to ask him why he and Adam decided to part ways. Do you feel comfortable talking about that? If you don't, that's fine.
I have nothing against Adam. I just, we have such disagreements on major issues that I just don't feel comfortable, you know, being on the show with him. But we're still friends on Facebook.
Yep.
And but the point is our differences, but I've enjoyed all the times I've been on his show. I'm not going to claim that, but lately with the election coming up, it's caused in my mind, a rift, R-I-F-T, but not bad feelings, just a rift.
Yeah.
So, I still wish him well, and who knows, maybe I'll be back on his show at times, but I'm very happy to have this alternate opportunity with you, and I'm enjoying it greatly, and also with Scott, I have a great time with him as well.
Yeah, and he was concerned about the rift, And he said, you've got to ask. And I said, I'm not going to ask him that, but I have asked. So
I'm not knocking Adam. Adam has a right to his views. I have a right to my views.
Yep.
But on some issues, it just became heated, I guess, in private Facebook conversation.
Yeah.
Not on the show. And, you know, and we've had some times when we haven't gotten along, and certain weeks I didn't show up on the show because of that, because he chose not to. And then I finally decided I didn't want to do this anymore. So I just told him. And, you know, but yet we're talking since, and, you know, we'll still be called friends, just not be on the show together at this point.
Why has this election, and I've lived through a lot of them, all the way back to Truman, if I wasn't much alive, I mean, I was a baby then, but why has this election, why has this election become so heated?
Because it's the most divisive president we've ever had. And we have a party, his party, that is not willing to hold his feet to the fire like the Republican Party did in 1974 with Richard Nixon.
Right.
We don't have any people with guts and courage who are elected officials. Now, we have plenty of people who have been in office and are out, former Republican officials, and plenty of conservative commentators who have condemned him, tons of them.
Yeah.
And even Cindy McCain is now backing Joe Biden, you know, and,
yeah, I saw that.
You know, and there's so many other people, you know, of, you know, great renown in the Republican Party who have come out against him. But the Republican Party is destroying itself around a man who doesn't give a damn about them, only about himself, and he's much more dangerous than Nixon ever could have been. And how anybody could possibly support Trump at this point is beyond my understanding. But, you know, we have differences of opinion, people, and everybody has a right to their view, and I'm certainly, but I find that it starts to raise my blood pressure, and my oldest son, David, said, you don't need to be involved with anybody who raises your blood pressure, you know, you don't need to do
that.
You're
not getting younger, yeah.
And also, not that it matters, I'm not complaining, I'm not being paid for this.
Yes.
If I was being paid even a small amount, maybe I'd say, okay, it's just not going to job, you might have stresses, but you deal with it because you're getting a paycheck, right? But I'm not paid for this, and I don't care. I'm happy to be on. But I'm saying I don't need grief and aggravation when I'm not getting paid. So that's why I decided I can't take it anymore.
Well, join the club. None of us get paid around here. But one of the things about this station is it's we have a pretty good listenership. I imagine a lot of them clicked it off when you and I got together, but that's okay. I have a lady that has called me several times and said, I love listening to you. And I know the reason why she does is because she's just so tired of hearing. In the state of Ohio, there's a lot of hate, and there's a lot of Trumpism, I will call
it. Same with Florida, where I'm from.
That's right. You're from Florida. Yeah.
Boca Raton is maybe South Florida's a little less, but the state of Florida, right now, the latest poll, which I don't know if it's going to work out, shows Trump ahead after never being ahead in Florida. And I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Oh, he moved ahead.
Have to win Florida, to, you know. I mean, Trump, Biden doesn't have to win Florida to win, but it starts to concern me, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I think our country would be in horrible shape if Trump gets in. He'll be uncontrollable, and I think we're moving toward fascism, as I make the clue in that article, and that's not something to laugh at. And I just wrote this morning on my blog, I wrote my latest thing, Memo to American Jews Who Support Trump. You are overlooking history and are being delusional, and I explained why.
I saw that.
But he was Jewish, but one-third, including people I know, are supporting Trump.
Yeah. Now, why... every time they take a poll and they try to decide who the Trump voter is, it always is guys my age or slightly less. Usually, actually, it's between 45 and 65, I think. And they're usually undereducated.
Yes.
And they... Why is that? Why...
They're afraid
who are
racial minorities and also women, you know, being a threat to them or their children's future. They think that women's advancement or the advancement of people who are African American or Latino or Asian or Muslim is bad. And, you know, and the fact is, whether you like it or not, the way it is now, the white majority is getting smaller and smaller, and that's part of life. It's, in a way, the United States is the United Nations. We are all nations, people from all backgrounds, all immigrants except Native Americans, Indians, and, you know, that's the way it is. You can't change the future. And really, if your kids grow up, as my kids did, with, you know, with friends who were all kinds of backgrounds, they don't have any prejudice, but some of these people are promoting their hatred because of the church they attend in some cases, where they still promote the idea that we're better than others, you know, and promote that women have to be walking six steps behind men. And that's one of the reasons I don't like Orthodox Jews either, because they, like every other religion, if you're very strict, you believe women are not equal to men. And I'm sorry, I don't accept that.
I absolutely hate it. Now, I was lucky. I grew up, as I've told you, with a quite progressive Republican father. But I also grew up in South Bend, Indiana, home of Mayor Pete. But I grew up at South Bend Central. I went to junior high there and my first year in high school there. And it was about 30 to 35% African American. And when I moved to Valparaiso, Indiana, which was almost totally white, it was a shock to my system.
But the opposite of others.
It really was. It was horrible. And one of our first track meets was against South Bend Central. And I went over and said hi to all my friends, which I didn't realize were black. And all my friends from Valparaiso's, you know that guy? Yeah, I know that guy. But I have been so happy. My youngest son lives in California. He was an All-American baseball player, an all-state baseball. He was just a terrific athlete, and he still is. He plays basketball down there. He's 39 now, but he plays basketball. And we went and watched him play basketball. I was so proud of my son on this basketball team because he was one of two white kids on the whole team. Everybody else was either African-American, Chicano, Asian. And it made me proud of the United States that we have such a diversity.
Yes.
Why don't people see that diversity? You don't remember. I don't remember. But I know that the Irish Catholics were hated.
The Italian Catholics.
Yeah, the Italians, of course. And why don't we learn those lessons? I don't understand.
Because some parents teach hate in their kids.
Yes.
And maybe because of what they heard years ago in church.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily now, but there still are churches today, you know, that they'll accept maybe African-Americans, but they don't want to accept gays. And to me, the issue with gay is another thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to be gay? Fine. You don't feel you know, you want to marry someone who's of the same gender? Fine. But do not discriminate against other people. Just like years ago before interracial marriage was declared constitutional in 1967 in Loving v. Virginia, the thought that what does it matter if you're white and you don't want to marry a black person or
no.
Who cares? But don't tell other people what to do. And the same thing with abortion. You don't have to like abortion. Try to encourage fewer abortions and fewer people getting pregnant outside of marriage, ideally, and all that. But it is not your job to tell a woman what to do with her body or to tell a person of the race or sexuality who to marry.
The same person will complain that you're breaking my freedoms because you want me to wear a mask. Come on!
That's another thing. The whole idea that a mask is denying you your freedom is insane, and it's been shown it has an effect, and it is a sacrifice everybody needs to make to wear a mask, because we're having, obviously, the worst epidemic of any country in the world, because we have these people who think their personal rights are more important than the rights to be a good citizen, patriotic, and wear a damn mask.
Right. Well,
you know?
During World War II, can you imagine somebody saying, I'm not giving up my steel. My steel's mine. That's against my freedoms. They needed the steel.
The percentage of this country who don't believe in sacrifice. Everything is me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
With everybody else, whatever I want to say and do, I want to have freedom, and I want to do whatever I want to do, and they don't care about how they affect others. And I was not brought up that way, and my parents were not that way. I was always a person who believed in caring about others and being involved in trying to help others, not just thinking myself. But a lot of people are not that way.
Yeah, I don't understand. I thought that's the way we were brought up. But apparently, somewhere in there, a glitch happened, and people in that age group, I don't know, 45 to 65.
Even younger people, a lot of younger people don't want to cooperate. Even
is that right?
Colleges who don't want to sacrifice and not go to bars, not go and party.
Yeah, that's true.
When it's dangerous, but you can't tell them not to. Because it's like the end of the world if they deny themselves social activities for a period of time.
I have a couple of friends that have posted, and I, you know, my heart says They're probably right, but I know my head says I shouldn't feel this way. One of them posted that their antagonism towards wearing a mask is just a natural selection. Because all those people are going to die. Now,
oh, that's what we call giving them the Darwin Award.
Yeah. And I don't wish that on anybody. My my son-in-law's mother died of COVID.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about all these ministers? Not all, but some ministers who told their churches all packed together, don't worry about it. Now they've gotten sick, and some of them have died.
Yeah, but God.
I'm sorry to say, it's like maybe it's some kind of God's justice to people who are purely stupid and self-centered.
Well, probably the one guy that died had masturbated the night before, and that was.
I can't believe you said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm not allowed to say that. I hope Scott's not listening. I might have just lost my job.
By the way, you're doing a great job. I'm having a lot of fun with you. I do this on a regular basis. You're fun.
Okay, yeah, I would like to, too. And why don't we just plan on having you on every Wednesday? I'm going to try to, we could switch to Thursday after. If we decide to not do the swap shop that we have on, which nobody's calling because of COVID.
Well, I wanted to mention that in the spring, I'm going to be teaching an online course. Oh, Wednesday cool. Might be difficult starting in January, but Thursday would always be available. I'm just making a point.
Well, we'll talk about that.
I teach an online course. I never did that before. I'm doing an online course, live and recorded, and obviously I can't be talking to the class and also talking to you.
Yeah. Well, I listen to you and Adam quite often.
What a good time always. There's no question. And he's a very funny guy, and it was always an entertaining hour, no question about it.
Well, like I said to Scott this morning when he said, what are you going to talk about? I said, I don't know. The nice thing Adam had with Dr. Feynman was he was a good backboard for Dr. Feynman. They disagreed. And I said, I'm not sure I'm going to disagree with much of anything.
There's a couple of disagreements. It's just that it got to be too intense in ways that just started to affect, I felt, my blood pressure. That's what the issue is.
I understand that.
Yeah. I still respect Adam greatly, and he's got a great show, and he's a great webmaster, and all that.
Yeah, he does a good job.
We have disagreements, but we're not enemies. We're still friends.
Yeah, good. Well, and we all need to calm our blood pressure down. I had a heart attack 9 years ago, and
I had open heart surgery.
Oh,
didn't have a heart attack, but I had chest pains. I had a quadruple bypass.
Yikes.
That's in 2004.
I was lucky. That was about when I had mine a little after that. But I was lucky. I didn't have to have my chest cracked open. They just went up and put a stent in.
Bypasses. And at the time, I remember when I was told that, in my head, I said to God, I said, just a minute here, God. I'm 59. You cannot do this to me. I'm not ready to go. And my sons, they're too young still. And I haven't planned my funeral and all that. No way. And I woke up.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you woke up. Otherwise, we'd be in real trouble right now.
And imagine, if I had not woken up, I wouldn't know who Barack Obama is.
Yes. Well, tell me, what did you think of Barack Obama?
I think Barack Obama was one of the best presidents in our history. Not perfect, but to me, in many ways, he's the best president since the 1960s in domestic affairs. Lyndon Johnson, who I did not like on Vietnam as much, but I think he's the best domestic president since Lyndon Johnson, and he is one of my favorites, along with Franklin D. Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, and also Theodore Roosevelt, so I have a progressive Republican in there.
There you go.
And also Obama. Now, Jimmy Carter, I didn't care for much at the time. I voted for him, but I wasn't thrilled by him, but I've come to really love the guy. And he's going to be 96 in, what is it, today's the 23rd, in 8 days, and that is just wonderful, and I hope he makes it to 100, and his wife's 92, still going on, and Walter Mondale, his vice president, is also going to, is still alive. So, and 40 years of war passed on January 20th, and I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too. And I agree with you. Now, I did, and I think Barack Obama is the best president I've ever lived under. I did like
Eisenhower. If you take away Vietnam, I would say yes. Without Vietnam, if you didn't think of Vietnam, I would say LBJ for what he accomplished. But yes, I think I'd agree with you otherwise, yes.
What did you think of Eisenhower?
I was, of course, a young teenager.
Yeah.
I thought he was all right, you know. And he's moved up in historical reputation to be fifth or sixth among all presidents, either above or below Truman. I still would put Truman above him. But it, you know, I wouldn't say I was inspired by him, but he was a decent guy, and he would be absolutely shocked at Donald Trump, as would Nixon, by the way. He would be shocked at what he gets away with Trump. And also Reagan would not have approved, and the Reagan children did not approve, and Nancy Reagan did not like Trump either. So, so I would say Eisenhower wasn't excited about, but he was quite good. But I was a little young, but I really liked Hubert Humphrey when he ran against Kennedy in the primaries. He was my original political hero, Hubert Humphrey.
Well, we've only got a minute left. You got anything else? Any other nuggets of wisdom you'd like to give us before? And let's just plan on doing this next Wednesday, if you don't mind.
Yes, let me just check. 12:15. So yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I can do next Wednesday. I'll put it on the calendar. I'm looking forward to it. And I thank you very much for inviting me. I had a great time.
Oh, great! Great to have you here. Now, give us your blogs one more time. Your address.
ProgressiveProfessor.com. Is one. HistoryNewsNetwork.org. Look under blogs, Ronald L. Feynman, and I'm on Facebook and on Twitter.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Feynman, and we will talk next Wednesday, if that's
all
right.
Thanks so much. I really enjoyed it, and have a great week, okay?
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. We're going to get out of here in about 15 seconds, so thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed listening to Dr. Feynman, and Adam's loss is my gain, and Adam did a great job with him. I really enjoyed it. But anyway, we're going to get out of here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to